Amen. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. So Mike and Meg were our home group leaders many years ago. So any theological inaccuracies in my sermon, speak to Mike afterwards. But just to begin with, I just thought I'd show a picture of a family. So that was us actually in Chile, because we had to go to Chile soon after arriving in Peru to sort out the children's visas. So that was us soon after arriving in South America. We worked in South America, that's why we've got all the Central America questions wrong. We were only focused really on the South. That's where the best bits are. So while we were there, or shall I start at the beginning? We used to be members here at Good Shepherd Mission. Rachel and I both studied at the Royal London Hospital, which we're very sad to see. It's all sort of boarded up, isn't it, that original part at the moment. And the girls were both born there. Jacob was born in Welwyn Garden City. He'll thank me for mentioning that. He's very proud of the fact that he was born there. He's only visited it the one time. And that was because we were studying at All Nations Christian College at that time. So we left here to study there. And we thought at that time that probably God would take us on to Peru, to Latin America. But actually he took us somewhere far more exotic, which was Bradford, for 4 years, where we learnt a lot of really important lessons and also built up our support base for then finally God leading us to work in Peru in Latin Link. And we were there for 7 years. And in that time, as people have mentioned, we met Sayuri, and Rachel started meeting her with regular Bible studies and building her up and teaching and seeing the life and the care and the wish to share the gospel with others. And so we nurtured that. And then when Latin Link really started wanting to send people to UK, and Sayuri was at that time ready to do that, it was wonderful that we could link those two things together and send Sayuri from our home church in Lima, El Redentor, to what was for many years our home church in London. So from one capital city to another. And that was a wonderful thing. And now we are 2 years later. We were there when she was commissioned to come here, and now we're here when we're giving thanks for those 2 years of faithful service. So that is wonderful and very, very exciting for us. But we're just to fill you in, that's a picture of us now. Okay, so my three children have got older. They've grown up. I've lost some hair. And Rachel's not changed at all. So in the time that we were in Peru, we didn't just meet Sayuri, we met lots of other people. Rachel and I both discipled lots of people coming short term with Latin Link. And we went to the wedding of Rebecca, one of our striders, in Cambridge in the summer. That was very wonderful. But also we met other Peruvians, and we're going to talk about one of those in a moment from our church. We were robbed at gunpoint at one point. We had wonderful holidays in the Andes, in the Amazon. We saw, I was a team leader for a time when I saw a 100-year celebration of bookshops, a literature ministry in Peru. I also was there when we had to close down a children's home after 15 years of work. So I've seen the highs and the lows of missionary life, but also we've seen God's faithfulness. And now he's brought us back to the UK, and he's got a new mission for us in the Cotswolds. I could never, if you said, where are you going to go from Lima? I would never have imagined that we'd end up in the Cotswolds, but that's where God's put us. I'm now working back as a GP in Swindon. Anyone who lives in Cirencester looks down on Swindon, thinks it's the back of beyond, but there's some people there who need to be cared for, and so that's where we are. And we're looking now for what God has before us next. And as you can see, Sayuri's English is excellent. She spent a lot of time learning that in Lima. But when I went to Peru, I had very little Spanish indeed. I wasn't like Sayuri, who'd spent years investing time in language learning. So I had to do my language learning when I was there. And one of the things that my language teacher encouraged me to do was to watch the news. So I started doing that, and it depressed me so much, watching the news, because always it's bad news. And also, in Peru, it's a different culture, a different way of doing things, they show quite a few dead bodies. So if there's been an accident, you actually see the body on the road. And I remember one of my language teachers saying to me, when the bomb, the tube bomb, was here in London, some people didn't really believe that people had died because they didn't see any bodies. Because obviously in the UK we do things differently, don't we? We don't show that side of things. And I had to, in the end, after 2 or 3 days, I had to go back to my language teacher and say, sorry, I'm not going to watch the news anymore because it actually makes me want to leave the country. I'm really sorry. And actually, coming back to the UK, I don't watch the news again here. It just depresses me so much. Because all we get is bad news, isn't it? At the moment, where we live, it's all about the floods. It's all about the floods. And I just find that depressing. But today's talk is going to be about good news. All right? So we're going to have some good news rather than all the bad news today. And Vicky's going to come and read the passage to us.
So the reading is from Romans 10, verse 11 to 15, and that's on page 1073. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Thank you very much, Vicky. Our pastor in Peru, Lucho, he has someone brings him water as he's preaching. All right, so if this runs out, someone could just bring me another one. That'd be really useful. Because I do seem to get a bit of a dry mouth. I'm probably quite nervous, all right? This is the first time I've preached in English for quite a while. If I burst into Spanish, it's because I'm used to preaching in Spanish. So the good news is the gospel, the message of salvation. And I'm going to make three things about the good news based on today's passage in Romans. Hopefully they're going to come up here. The good news is Jesus. The good news is for everyone. The good news needs to be shared. Our passage is in Paul's letter to the Romans, the church in Rome, which Paul had never actually visited, but wanted them to know what this good news was. And in his letter, he actually uses, as we divided it up now, 8 chapters to comprehensively explain the good news, the gospel. Paul, however, in chapters 9 to 11, where our passage is in the middle of, is talking about the situation for the Israelites, those people who had received God's law and thought that being right with God was based on obedience and good works. So in verse 11 and verse 13, he uses shorthand, quoting from Old Testament prophets, to show what Jesus has done. If you haven't got your Bibles open, it would be good to get those open. But you're well trained. I can see everyone's already got their Bibles out. That's wonderful. So it says in verse 11, quoting from Isaiah, he says, anyone who trusts in him, and that he means Jesus, will not be put to shame. When we're found guilty, when we get caught, and everyone knows about it, we are shamed. People use the phrase name and shame. Politicians, when they get caught fiddling their expenses or sleeping with their secretary, are named and shamed. Their hidden misdemeanours are brought out into the light. There's a new documentary out at the moment about Lance Armstrong, written by a guy who was asked to do a documentary about Lance Armstrong, and he actually believed in him. He thought he was an amazing guy. And then all those revelations came out. It all came out that this guy was a complete cheat. And now the director has gone back, done interviews with Lance Armstrong and others, and shown all those lies. It's all out in the open now. He's been shamed, and no one really wants to have anything to do with him. In verse 13, quoting from Joel, which Peter, another apostle, also quotes at Pentecost, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Looking at the context where this quote comes from, which is Joel 2:32, we won't look at it now, but that's the context, it seems to imply that they are saved from the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the day of judgment. The cheating politician is shamed when his expense fiddling comes out in the open. In a similar way, the day of judgment is a day of shame and guilt when all our sin, our rebellion against God, is brought out into the open. But Jesus takes all this guilt and shame away. As Christians, we are saved from the consequences of sin, from eternal death and separation from God. To illustrate this more, I'll quickly go through other verses in Romans. As I've said, Romans gives us a comprehensive explanation of the gospel, which some call the Roman road. So it's not the Roman road down the road here, but this is using some verses to explain the gospel all from Romans. I've forgotten a little bit about on PowerPoint. So it says in Romans 3:10-12, which I'm going to just quickly get up. In summary, it says we've all sinned, we've all rebelled against God, but I'll actually read the verses themselves. And it says, "As it's written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." And it says again something very similar in verse 23 of the same chapter. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Then, the price of sin. So we're talking about everyone's sinned, and now we're going to talk about Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the wages, the result of sin is death. And then in Romans 5:8, Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid the price for our death. So that's 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then next, taken from our passage, we receive salvation and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. So just to read it again, in chapter 10, 9-10, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you can profess your faith and are saved." And 13, which we've talked about before, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Before we knew Christ, Our lives were heading towards death and destruction, eternal punishment. But because of Christ, we are saved from that and given the free gift of salvation and peace with God. So we've got Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there's also 8:38, but I think we'll skip that one for the moment. So the good news is Jesus. We've not been back long in the UK, but we've been going to a church. It's actually Cirencester Baptist Church most Sundays. And I must confess that I've only heard the gospel explained clearly in one church service. And then it was by the guy leading the worship, the praise, rather than someone preaching. All too often, the message is about what we have in Jesus, hope, life, purpose, which are important messages, but without what we've been saved from, guilt, death, and judgment. Our church recently put on an evangelistic series of a course, and they put on a promotional video that was produced by this company, giving people's testimonies about the course. However, few mentioned Jesus, and the main result of the course seemed to appear to be that their life now had greater purpose and direction. It appeared to be that the good news was, become a Christian and you have purpose to your life. But the good news is not become a Christian and you'll have a better life. The good news is that by knowing and trusting Jesus, you'll be saved from the consequences of being a far from perfect human being. You can't sort your life out yourself. You need the help of the Almighty Creator God to intervene on your behalf. So the good news is Jesus. This should make a difference to our preaching and teaching. Sermons, talks, Bible studies should be constantly pointing to the saving work of Jesus Christ. No one should be left in any doubt about how they can be saved. Also, on a personal level, we need to be prepared to answer the question, what do I need to do to be saved? A question, it's not rhetorical, I want people to raise their hands. Who here would be confident to answer that question? Who would be confident to answer that question? Okay, so not everybody's put their hand up. Who has been taught and is confident in using a gospel outline such as Two Ways to Live or Bridge to Life? Again, show of hands will be wonderful. Okay. Similar group too said they were confident to answer the question and put up their hands to that one. Okay, Rachel and I, both when we were students, quite a long time ago now, learnt both of these gospel outlines. And for the last 25 years, amazingly, 25 years, we've been using them and teaching others to use them. We need to be able to point people to Jesus, explain what he did on the cross, and why his resurrection from the dead gives us confidence and hope for the future. Because the good news is Jesus. Paul knew that and taught it. Let's make sure we know it and can tell others with confidence. Okay, we'll go to my second point now, but I'll have some more water first. So the second point is, the good news is for everyone. In verse 12, Paul says, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile." Paul had lived as a Jew, so knew that there was enormous difference between Jews and Gentiles. They were culturally different. The attitude towards God was different. Paul's already pointed out that the Jews sought to please God through the law in his book, and the Gentiles generally did not seek God at all. So how can he now say there's no difference between them? Firstly, in Romans 3, which we've actually already read, he says that everyone sins. So Jews and Gentiles have sinned, rebelled against God. They're all guilty, both Jew and Gentile. Also, God is ready to save, rescue, or in the words of verse 13, richly bless everyone who calls on the Lord. So everyone is equally guilty before God and equally can be saved from their sin by trusting in Jesus. So as far as the good news of God's rescue from sin is concerned, there's no difference between a man and a woman, between an atheist and a religious man. Our style of dress, our dietary preferences, where we live, what we earn, don't matter. These can be barriers that we put between us and other people. But for God, these barriers that need to be overcome so we can all hear the gospel, the good news. Anyone and therefore everyone can be saved. If this is the case, we shouldn't put a barrier or a limit on who hears the gospel. If everyone and anyone can be saved, then we should make sure and make every effort so that everyone can hear and respond to the good news. The good news is for everyone. And now, in verse 14 and 15, my final point, the good news needs to be shared. So I'm just going to read verses 14 and 15 again. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Sayuri had the church put these verses on her banner with her photo and a big red London bus. So these verses were important to her, and that's one reason why I've chosen to preach on them. That's what she felt, that call to be sent, because people need to hear the good news. It needs to be shared. But however, let's look at them now. And look in these verses. We'll begin at the end and unpack the quote again from the Old Testament in Isaiah 52, verse 7. It says again, I'll just read it again. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, it's prophecy and it's poetic language, so it doesn't literally mean that messengers have beautiful feet. In fact, often messengers are going to have to walk a long way, so they're probably going to have far from beautiful feet. Rather, when people arrive with good news, we want to celebrate with them. Now, one time, Rachel and I and the family, we were travelling back to the UK, and it was the winter. We always came back, and we missed Lima's summer to enjoy the winter here. And this time it was terrible weather, snow everywhere, and we ended up stuck in Amsterdam for 48 hours. At one point we were on a plane, ready to fly, but then we got the news from Heathrow that actually they weren't ready to receive our plane, so we all had to get off again, wait for our baggage for about 3 hours while it came back on the carousel, and then queue up all over again to get a different flight. We eventually got to Birmingham when we originally thought we were going to go to London. Fortunately, my parents live quite near Birmingham, so I managed to phone them, or Skype them, in fact, to say that we were on our way, and they said they would send us a taxi driver. So we landed at Birmingham at 3 o'clock in the morning. We picked up our bags, walked through arrivals, and there was this guy waiting for us, this taxi driver that had been sent by my mum and dad. And I ran up to him and vigorously shook his hand, because I'm English, but I actually really wanted to hug him. And I probably would have kissed him as well, because he was representing my mum and dad. He was like their messenger they'd sent to say, you're home, you're safe now, you're going to get back home. And it was wonderful, and I wanted to sort of to celebrate with him. He was just there for the fair. So messengers, we want to celebrate when we hear good news or see something special. In the context of Isaiah, the celebration is the news that the Israelites, after exile in Babylon, can return to Jerusalem, their spiritual home. They were going to be able to get back home. The good news we can share is that finally we can have peace with God, and that's something to be celebrated. God is using the word preach. So Paul is using the word preach here, but we can sometimes associate that with sermons and church, people going on a bit too long. Don't worry, I've got an eye on the clock. The idea here, however, is of a town crier or herald bringing news to the town, shouting it out so everyone can hear. So looking at verse 14 again, we're going to turn it around and put it the other way. I got this from John Stott, so it must be good. All right. Christ sends heralds. Heralds announce. People hear. Hearers believe. Believers call, and those who call are saved. If we turn those verses round, that's the order they come in. I know a few people who have the gift of evangelism, people who seem programmed to share the gospel at every opportunity, and two of those are people that we met with Latin Link. The first is Margaret Saunderson. Here she is with a lady called Floor, who you may, if you've heard talks from us before or read our newsletters, Floor appears there because Rachel did a lot of visiting to her her and her family and discipling with her and walking with her through lots of different traumas in her life. But Margaret actually inspired me to want to go back and work as a missionary in Peru when I met her in Lima when we first went there on a holiday. And she's actually planted 3 churches in the southern part of Lima. Latin Link, we're not a church planting mission, but we've got a missionary who's planted 5 churches. She's somebody who breaks the mold and does her things her way. She's been there over 30 years. So even when she's on holiday, having a break from pastoring and leading these churches, going somewhere with a Peruvian friend, she can't help herself but share the gospel. So one time she visited a remote village with a friend who'd moved there. She went to see them. And the plan was to spend a few days just relaxing and catching up. But instead, by the time Margaret was ready to leave, there was a group of 15 believers in this village who were meeting in the lady's house. Margaret hadn't really taken any study materials with her apart from her own Bible and a few notes. So she ended up giving those over to people as well. And then Margaret was looking for someone to pastor this church because it was too far for her to go regularly. So we saw with Margaret a small church from nothing to a church in a week. It was like reading Paul's missionary journeys. And that's what it was like with Margaret, and still is. The other guy, this is Marcus, who is a tall Finnish guy. He's actually playing the drums here in the International Assembly for Latin Link 2010, actually in their International Assembly now, or about finished. Yeah, it's going on at the minute, I think, in Ecuador. And he might be trying to sell his car, but anyone who comes, any potential buyer, they may not buy his car, but they're going to hear the gospel while he's chatting away with them. Another time we were at our conference and we all went out into the town square to buy ice creams. We all sat down, the group of us. Marcus noticed a guy sitting down on his own, went and sat next to him. 5 minutes later, they were talking about the gospel. That's just how he is. He gossips the gospel. They compulsively share the good news. They may not be preaching on street corners, but they're proclaiming the gospel. The Apostle Paul, the writer of this passage we are looking at, was also a natural evangelist. His gift for sharing the good news was identified and nurtured in the church in Antioch. And then in Acts 13, the first three verses, if you wanted to read it later, the church there set him and Barnabas apart and sent them out as missionaries. This is what happened with Margaret and Marcus. Their gifts were acknowledged by their home churches in England and in Finland, and through Latin Link, they were sent to share that same message in a different language and in a different culture. The good news should be shared. So people who are good at sharing the gospel need to be encouraged, equipped, and in many cases sent out to share the gospel cross-culturally. The UK for many decades has been a centre for sending missionaries. And we just heard the mission committee was standing up and different people here who the church support who are doing great work in different parts of the world. However, in recent years, more and more missionaries from other parts of the world are now being sent to the UK. I've been to mission events in Peru, actually in Diana's church, where the message has been about the failing small churches in the UK and Europe that are crying out for help. The message was the churches are being turned into mosques, into supermarkets, and we need to send people to rescue the church in the UK and in Europe. Now, isn't it wonderful that now there are Christians like Sayuri that are being called and sent by Latin American churches to share the good news here? Just got a pic. There's Pastor Lucho with Sayuri. And I just thought I'd share. Just that was a meeting we had. We went to see, Sayuri and I went to see Lucho to talk about the church really getting behind what Sayuri was doing. But half an hour before that, I was sat in a cafe with Sayuri, and she was in tears. She was just wondering, how is this all ever going to happen? But we're here 2 years later, and it's because of God's faithfulness that it's happened. Because she was worried about, how's the money going to come through? And it came. It came because of God's faithfulness. So the Christian church in the UK is getting more and more marginalised. The authority of the Bible is publicly maligned, and people who follow its teaching are portrayed as ignorant and gullible. Now, I know some of you guys here, and I know you're not ignorant or gullible, but that's what the world, that's what people outside in the streets, in work, think we are. People believe that I have no need of God. Getting people into a church building to hear a gifted evangelist is proving more and more difficult. Now, I remember when I was a medical student down the road in Whitechapel, and I took a group of my friends, met fellow medical students at the time, to Upton Park, not to see a football match, but to hear Billy Graham. And there was waves of people going forward at the end. But I couldn't imagine first inviting people to hear someone like Billy Graham, or that reaction now. The church in the UK needs missionaries both from abroad but also homegrown. We all need to be ready and able to share the good news with our work colleagues, neighbours, friends and families. For many years, I've just got an image to show this. For many years, the model for evangelism and mission events has been inviting people to a large event with a gifted speaker. Now, we need to change the emphasis to equipping people to do the sharing themselves. So instead of inviting people to the building, we need to be sending people out who are ready to share the gospel, who are equipped and how to do it, who have the mindset of a missionary in their work, while they're at the gym or in the supermarket. Now, I've shown you a couple of images of gifted evangelists who just gossip the gospel. Now, Rachel and I are more your typical reluctant evangelists. We're both introverts, and we need to know people really well before we feel that we have the confidence to share the gospel with them. But when we were in Peru, we got to know two brothers. They lived in our neighbourhood, and that's Gerardo and Juan Jose. They lived in our local area, and they knew where we lived. And they knew that our house was a house where missionaries lived. So when I met Juan Jose walking our dog, and he was walking his, he got chatting to me. And we found out we both had a passion for basketball. So after a while, I ended up playing basketball at the weekends with Juan Jose and Gerardo. We had to walk to the court to get there. And on the way, and there on the way back, they used to question me, first of all, about the UK, because they were curious. And then as things got to know each other, about my faith. This was in the early days when I was still in language school. So the message was a bit stilted, but it got there in the end. Gerardo is still very passionate about basketball. That is his life. He's on a scholarship at university to play basketball. But they're both now Christians. And Juan Jose is very involved in mission events in Peru. And also, I took a picture here just before I was leaving, of him teaching Two Ways to Live, the evangelistic course in the church, to others. The missionary mindset, being known as men and women of faith, will naturally bring up questions and start conversations. I was known as a missionary when I was in Peru. While I'm in Cirencester, I'm going to have to work a little bit harder. But hopefully, in my DNA now, is that I want to share the gospel with people and make them curious about the gospel. We need to be equipping each other to have that mentality and giving the confidence to share our faith with others. The good news needs to be shared. I'm going to finish now. Just to sum up. But before I do, hopefully, I think I might have overrun a little bit. I do apologise for that. I know in England it's very important to finish on time. In Peru, a couple of times I was criticised as a missionary for not speaking for long enough. All right? And on average, our sermons in El Redentor were getting on 45, 50 minutes. I preached for 25. So people felt cheated when I preached. So you've got a little extra today. You should feel blessed. I hope you feel blessed. The good news is Jesus. Jesus has saved us from the results of our sin. He and only He gives us the sure hope of eternal life. If you don't yet feel confident explaining this to others, let me encourage you to learn a gospel outline, such as Two Ways to Live or The Bridge to Life. If you put those into Google, you can find them. You can even put a YouTube and there'll be people explaining how to do it. You can get it on an app. All these things are available now. Or you could buy Know and Tell the Gospel by John Chapman, a real classic, which tells you how to do not just two ways to live, but how to have that evangelistic mindset. The good news is for everyone. The one qualification on our part to become a Christian is to be a sinner, and we all are. We're all sinners, and Jesus is powerful enough to save any sinner. So we mustn't put any barriers or limits on who can hear the good news. The good news is for sharing. There are people who have that wonderful gift of evangelism, and let's release them to share the good news whether within the church or by sending them out cross-culturally as missionaries. Also, this sharing is now multidirectional. So let's be ready to receive help from Christians from other nations, which this church has done, especially when they've been specially called and sent by their home church, again as cross-cultural missionaries. And finally, let's all develop the mindset of a missionary in our work, in our home, with our friends and family. This good news of Jesus is for sharing and celebrating. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the Good Shepherd mission. Thank you that it's been a place of witness for so many years. Thank you that there are people like Sayuri from other parts of the world who want to come and be involved in that work as well. People who have been seen as evangelists in their own cultures and are willing to come with that confidence in the gospel and share it amongst our own communities here. Thank you, Lord God, that this church is a beacon in a dark place. But a building is nothing without its people. And Lord God, I pray that as we go out from this place now, you would fill our hearts and our minds through your Spirit with that desire, that confidence in the saving power of the gospel, so that we would be ready, prepared to share that good news with others. Lord God, I'm sure that many of us here would say it's only because somebody else spoke to me about the gospel, shared that good news, that I'm now a Christian. We know you can do wonderful things by your Spirit, but in the majority of cases, Lord God, thank you that you use us as messengers. I pray, Lord God, that there will be other people who are not here today that would say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news about us, because we've shared the good news with them. Thank you, Lord. Amen.